Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, we're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of May 10th and 11th. Can you say jammed? Can you say packed? Can you say overcrowded? That is a situation with today's show. So here it is, the intro. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. We got turkeys, we got sea bass, and other great stuff in between. Be right back.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Once again, we're joined by our good friend Scott Spencer of Batteries Plus in Northfield and Mount Laurel. Scott, I know you can't wait to make this announcement, so take it away.
Batteries Plus has always been known for providing excellent sales and service to South Jersey. We're proud to announce our technology service centers are now 100% Apple and Samsung certified. Attaining these rigorous certifications with our technology partners is just another example of how we continue to deliver on our commitment to quality and our customers.
Can you explain what the certifications mean to your customers?
Having a Samsung and Apple certification, it's the training, it's the hours of support, it's the equipment that we're using, it's the software to check and double check to make sure that your repair is done right the first time, and all the components that we use to repair your phone, we use original Apple and Samsung parts.
Find just about any battery you need and also get your Apple or Samsung phone certified repaired. Scott, now tell us how to find you.
Go to batteriesplus.com, type in your location, and choose Northfield or Mount Laurel.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. By working with my oncologist, we were able to determine the most appropriate treatment plan. My fear was I wasn't going to be here to see my children grow up. That gave me hope, knowing that I have that chance. And I did. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Crunch time Toms is what it is. We are talking now. Oh, man. Period D is here already. Period D is here already. Last 2 weeks, 5 days each of turkey season, period D, the 12th and the 16th, the 19th to the 23rd, half hour before sunrise to sunset. Now, in period E, the Saturdays, today's Saturday out there, and today it goes to noon. The 17th, it goes to sunset. Man, this is to me, other guys argue, this is the most challenging time to get a gobbler in, to get a tom in, tom turkey in. So I put in a call. As always, I was practicing with his box call. Oh, Denise Murray saying, what are you doing? What is that horrific? Of course, she's into the diaphragm thing, you know, 5-read, 4-read, 3-read, 12-read, whatever. Trying to make it work, so I'm going to give it one final go at it. Is Ron Jones from ACP Rednecks Pride Outdoor Products, maker of all sorts of turkey calls, deer calls, scents, whatever, whatever, whatever. Crunch time, Tom's. Ronnie, how you doing, man?
Hey, Tommy, how you making out?
How am I making out? I have to go to ShopRite again. It looks like again, Jonesy. Help me out here, man.
You know what? I'm missing. I got an e-week, and I'm on here talking to you. So we got to get this thing done.
You got to get this done, Joe. Let's get this done. Talk to me, Ron. Two things. I want to center on two things: crunch and also on a serious note, crunch time. A lot of hens are already on the nest, but there's still active gobblers out there looking for some love last minute. What is the dealio? What are we doing? What are we doing wrong? Go.
Well, you got a lot of pressure birds. I'm not going to say pressure, but they've been hunted all week, you know, for 3 weeks now, and we've got to just change our tactics just a little bit. Plus, you know, you got D week now. We can go right into the afternoon up until sunset. So at that point, I think a lot of guys heading out those last two, three hours, will probably, if you play your cards right and you're figuring out where they're roosting, you might have a better success than off the roost. It seems like, this season off the roost, they're being a little bit of a pain. I don't know why, who knows why, but if you're hunting in the D week where you can go all day, give the afternoons a try. I think most guys that traditionally that's just not accepted, but not tolerated, but give that nighttime, that afternoon type of hunting. I try. You might see a little difference.
Ron, this is what was so weird. Let me tell you, the other day I was out by, I guess, Millmain, between Millville and Mays Landing, out there in Pittsburgh, just down that road, just doing so. I heard a gobbler sound off, Ron. It was 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and sound off like he was right off the side of the road. Is that unusual this time of year? Or this time in the season, I should say?
No,
and it wasn't a guy.
Unusual.
There was nobody there. It wasn't a hunter working a gobbler call.
No, but what's happening now is the suckers aren't continuing. You know, we like it in the early season where you shout out a yelp or a cluck, and man, those gobblers just light up, and they're still all fired up, and they're still saying, "Yeah, baby, come here." Now I don't think they care. Now it's been if you want me, here I am, come get me. And
uh-huh.
That's another thing that a lot of guys are. Remembering is when you get into real turkey world, the hen comes to the gobbler.
Right.
Not the gobbler comes to the hen. So, you know, everybody's hooting and hollering and saying, he's hung up 80 yards out in the middle of that field. He knows I'm there. And I said, no, if he knew you was there, he wouldn't be out there in the middle of that field. All right. He's saying to the hen, come on out here. Come on out here. Here I am. I'm waiting for you. So at that point, I think that's where we as callers have got to change up our strategies a little bit. I think, especially as we get into D week, the easy goes, soft little stuff sometimes isn't keeping the interest. Was that a way to put it?
Yeah.
I'm seeing for me especially, I tend to go with a lot of scratching, a lot of growls, a lot of purrs, but then I'll get a little frantic with my cuts for, you know, 10 seconds or so. Three yelps. I'll give a frantic three yelps. Now, I'm not talking about blown ears out. I'm not talking about,
you know. He said that for my benefit, people. He's hunted with me before. I've hunted with him before. What are you doing, Jack?
Yeah, you know, when people say to, you know, I say I go aggressive at calling, and I am an aggressive caller. But I say you're not going volume, okay? You're just talking, and a lot of folks don't get out there and listen to the birds. They don't listen to hens. Hens are mouthy. When they want to be mouthy, they're mouthy. I can't tell you how many times hens have come in on us, especially me and Jennings. I remember Jennings was probably 15 years old, and we had Tom coming in, and he was ready to seal the deal, and another turkey or another caller, I thought it was a caller, came in from behind us, and I got torqued up and mad and angry, you know, because here it is, this guy's calling us, and Jennings reached over or leaned over to me, and he goes, the guy might not be right, but man, he is good, right? And I'm getting torqued because he's moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then just about the time that Tom should be stepping out from us, that caller pulled the bird off to our left, followed on with that caller. And I looked at Jennings and said, that's a stinking hen. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And we stuck out and looked, and son of a gun, if it wasn't a hen. The point I'm making at is it wasn't what I call classic hen talk. It was offbeat. It was half notes. It wasn't traditional contest calling. It was just a real hen that was doing nothing but constant talking to pull him off of us and onto her.
Okay, Ron. Yeah, Ron. The hens could be again. That's a big factor. Unbred hens. They can pull a gobbler off. I mean, they're the real deal. But Ron, it calls right now. To get that, okay, I meant that chances are they've been shot at, if that's possible, and the toms, they still want to, you know, do the love thing, but they're still wary. What's what are going to calls that hen's going to make to get, say, okay, let me go? What do you think?
Your traditional clucks and your conditional short, what I call short yelps, but, you know, you're going to do a few of them. I can't do my box call because I got my phone to my ear, but with a mouth call, I'm going to do a lot of growls, and I'll try to talk with my mouth on there.
Go.
I don't know what it's going to sound like, but
that's all right. Give it a shot. Come on, man.
That right there seems to fire them up like no tomorrow.
Got me going.
another call that's really working is these tube calls. I just started using one again. And I tell you what, it gives it a little bit off sound. See if I can do it.
Oh, wow.
And it's the off sound to our ears. But this year, the turkeys really like it, and the hens are paying attention to it, too. And again, just like I always say, crunch time, talk to the hens.
Ron, one thing, too, I want to mention is that the gobblers coming in. I had an experience, shout out to you, Carberry, they're a great, great turkey hunter, where gobbler came down. We heard him land, okay? Walking away and use an excellent call, using your products, as a matter of fact. I don't know if you knew that or not. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the gobbler, he's gone. And now it's getting to 11 o'clock, 10 to 11. Hear him way back, and he's doing the brushing, you know, with the... Worked him. Gobbler, he gobbled twice in an hour. But all of a sudden, there he was, 40 yards out.
Yep.
Came into 30, Carberry laid him out. Only gobbled twice. So they're not necessarily going to be, hey, baby, here I come, I'm coming to get you. Will they be pretty tacit? I mean, in other words, quiet and maybe a gobble here, a gobble there? Because that sure surprised the hell out of me, man. All of a sudden, you saw his head. I said, wow, where did he come from?
Yeah, I think the older the Tom gets, I think the more he quiets down.
Yeah, this sucker had a little over an inch length spur, I think an inch and an eighth. He was a bomber.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when you get, you know, your Jakes, they tend to mouth off a lot. Your 2 year olds, if he's horny, he's going to mouth off a lot. But I think your older birds, even when their heads are bright white, you know, and red, they tend to talk less. I don't know what brought that on. A lot of guys said, you know, coyotes, a lot of guys said hunting pressure. But I personally just think it's just, you know, he's just gotten older and he just knows the way it's going to happen. Yeah. He knows what's going to happen.
Ron, this thing came out of a high bush blueberry like a genie out of a bottle. All of a sudden, woof, there he was. I didn't even get a chance. I was about 25, 30 off, 35 yards away off to Carberry's left. I'm thinking he's going to come. Anything's going to come in. You know, I had the left, he had the right, but there he was. Again, Ron, just two gobbles, distant. And then all of a sudden, there he was.
Well, and he knows on one or two yelps or one or two clucks or whatever, he knows exactly where you're at, even at 100, you know, 100 plus yards. He knows exactly where you're at. And again, it's their hormones is what's getting them talking.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's coming to check you out, He's coming in. He's keyed in on you. The only reason I go with a lot of aggressive calling in the late season is because I want to pique his interest. I want to keep him fired up. Now, again, when I'm saying aggressive calling, I'm not talking about loud.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about what I call flock sounds, scratching. That's why, you know, a lot of those veteran hunters out there, especially down the South, you know, what's their best calls? A stick in the leaves.
That's what. Boy, that was a lesson to me, Jonesy. With Carberry, with that.
Yeah.
Wow. No decoys. Yeah. Nothing. Had to go. Ron, we're up against a heartbreak. Decoys have a role in this late in the game, Delio.
That's where your barroom brawl is going to start. I don't like them. Okay, but
I had to hit you with that, Jonesy. Now, Jonesy, a hen, a Jakin hen, a gobbler hen. You see these new gobbler on hen mounting decoys now. I said, man, what are they going to come up with next?
Oh, who knows? That's good old fashioned American marketing, you know. And I've got to figure out how to do all that stuff too. But we had a decoy on Youth Day. Decoy messed us up this year with my grandson. You know, the bird was literally 20 yards from us. We was in a blind. He was using a crossbow, and we couldn't get to that side where he came in. He saw that hen, and he just stopped. Boom! Right? And I've had more luck without a decoy than I have with a decoy. So some guys love them. Some guys hate them. I personally don't like them.
Yeah, we're speaking with Ron Jones, ACP Outdoor Products, makes a call, sense, whatever, run it, has it all, his trout, people, his trout scent, the Morris River. Those trout stocked in the Morris River, Jonesy, hate you for what I do to them with your But Jonesy, one last, we have a minute left. I have to go really tight jam show. One thing, do not do this late in the season. Biggest mistake that you've done, we've all made some. What is just for anyone out there hunting this late in the game? What is the biggest mistake you've seen made? We got 45 seconds, Jonesy. Go.
Setup's got to be absolute. Setup's got to be absolute. You have got to figure out how to get him to come within gun range or bow range, without on your setup. That is the absolute. You don't just do, you know, set it up haphazard, because he's going to get you. Your setup's got to be perfect.
There you go. Fair enough. Jonesy, real fast before we go, give that website or Facebook page for the products. Listen, it's trout scent. I'm telling you. Go.
RedneckPride.com. It's that simple.
Hey, Jonesy, take care. By the way, how's Don, everybody? Everything good?
Everybody good. Everybody's good.
Okay,
actually, we're supposed to go perch fishing tonight or tomorrow, I think, me and Jennings and Wyatt.
You were gonna call, correct? You were gonna call. I guess not.
Hey, listen, I'm invited. All I know is he told me to get my button. I think I'm being called out to untangle the lines and stuff like that with you know who.
Well, Jonesy, happy Mother's Day to Donnie. You take care, brother.
Take it easy. See buddy.
Yeah, crunch time, Tom's man. It is, and we've had Bird and Levy D. Marie. This two. It's a magic 2 week period. Very tough, but they are there. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Hold on to your Glock, California. A bill now in the California legislature seeks to ban one of the most popular models of handguns in the U.S. Assembly Bill 1127 wants to ban semi-automatic pistols. The bill's author claims the firearms are able to be converted into automatic fire pistols. At the heart of the matter are handguns manufactured by Glock, which can accept an auto sear, a device that many refer to as a Glock switch. It stops the limiting mechanism on the trigger, allowing for rapid fire without the need to pull the trigger over and over. For the most part, owning the Glock switch is illegal. Opponents of the bill say it will only criminalize law-abiding owners of semi-automatic handguns such as Glocks. The bill's backers hope it compels manufacturers to change the design of the firearms so they can't be converted into, in their words, machine guns. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's Talk Station.
Hey, you're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of May 10th and 11th. A little mix up there. Hey, listen, also, May 31st, the first annual Levi Baldwin Memorial Fishing Tournament is going to be held at Alloways Lake. It's part of the Ranch Hope, adding now a Camp Edge. Are going to have a youth tournament as well. It is already, it's going to be a youth tournament, youth day, youth fishing derby. It's going to be great. I think it's, I believe it's at capacity, 50 or 60 youngsters. But to the bass tournament, I believe there's one or two spots left here. It's $1,000 first prize. Second is $500. Third is $250. Lunker pool is $250 as well. It's only $100 per boat, guys. Come on, you bass guys. Get together. It's for a great cause. It's going to be for Ranch Hope. But this Camp Edge deal, they're all part of it. I believe it's part of a Fish and Wildlife Thunder Gut Pond Wildlife Management area. They lease it. Ranch Hope. A super event for the youngsters. Very important to get the kids involved. Youngsters involved in the fishing. Join us online right now. Very special guest. We know a lot of the same people in the industry. The guy is a dynamo. He He is a locomotive for this part of the event with the youth. It's Vince Santroni Jr. He is the founder and CEO of the organization RodFatherBass.com. He's also involved with the Philadelphia Bassbusters, .org. It's a great fishing club as well. I tell you, getting him on the line, right? Just a cool guy. Cool guy. Says it like it is, and he's great with the kids. How you doing, Vince? Good to talk to you, my brother.
Good morning, Tom. How are you, man?
Lock, cocked, and ready to rock. If I was any better, I'd still be dancing with Barbara Streisand. Come on, man. We'd be doing a duet. Vince, on a serious note, you've done a yeoman's job with getting all these kids together with this. Hats off to you, man. And again, we don't have much time. Stress the importance, and your story as well, getting the youth involved in fishing. Go, man.
Yeah, so RodFatherBass.com, it all originated from my father. So I used to fish with my dad up until I was about 12 years old, and he would pile all of us in the back of his 8-foot bed of his 79 Ford pickup.
Oh, yeah.
Me and my friends, you know, take his fishing down to Stewart Lake in Woodbury, which is where I learned to fish for crappie, carp, catfish, all that. So baseball consumed my life after that, and I hadn't fished with my dad since I couldn't even tell you, maybe 20, 30 years.
Wow.
So when my father died, I decided that in order to cope with his passing, I was going to get involved in fishing, bought a truck, got a small boat, and then started to give back to the kids in the community, taking them fishing, teaching them how to tie knots, kind of like what my dad did for us as children. So this has been an ongoing thing since he passed away on Easter Sunday about 12 years ago, back in 2013. And it's one of the ways that I got involved with Ranch Hope. So I just happened to stumble upon this lake on Google Maps, and I pull up, and it's this cool little camp. I get to talking to the guys there. They allow me access to fish the property, and then in turn, I find out what they do.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, man, this is right up my alley. So we start doing mentoring events with the kids at Ranch Hope.
That's fantastic.
It really is, man. And it's gratifying for us, the volunteers, just as much as it is for the kids. And now it has spawned into our first ever fundraiser for Ranch Hope, where we're doing, right now we have 65 kids signed up at capacity.
You're maxed. Okay. So, wow.
Oh, yeah, man. We're maxed. And the adult still has a couple open slots for the boat, but I'm handling the kids event with not only the Rodfather soldiers, as we call ourselves, but also my fishing club, Philadelphia Bassbusters.
Santroni, you jumped in feet first with this. You had, evidently, from what I understand, you had no qualms. Like, sign me up, coach, man. You were there.
I was there, man. And this is like something where my personality is, if I decide to do something, I'm all in. 150%, no questions asked. And I think it might be a touch of OCD with my type A personality.
No. You have a type A personality, Santroni? I never would have known that.
I love it.
Well, Vince, what have you seen now, in all your years, again, working with the youngsters, what do you see is the most difficult part? Getting them off the, if that's possible, getting them off their phones, getting an interest in fishing. Do they come to you? You go to them. And like you said, the soldiers, the club organization, the Bassmasters, you guys are doing great work. What is, if there is a stumbling block to get over with the youngsters, what is it?
You know what? I don't see a stumbling block ever. What I do see, especially with the kids at Ranch Hope, is a need to be present for and with the kids. They are looking for attention. They are looking for direction. They are looking to be loved. They're seeking that. And that's the hard part to get over after you leave, because you want to take all these kids home. You obviously can't.
Right.
I've always had unconditional love in my life. I've never had to seek it or look for it. So to have to go through and watch these young men grow up in at-risk environments, and then they're very standoffish in the beginning, but I'm going to tell you what, you get them catching fish and immediately they're tugging on your shirt. Mr. Vince, How are you catching them on that frog? Mr. Vince, how are you moving that bait? Can you show me? And I mean, it's question after question as if they want a relationship with you and fishing. And fishing brings all of us closer.
Well, Vince, let me ask you this. So in your years of doing this, have you ever run into a youngster who's now an adult that has fishing and or has kids that like to fish, got them into fishing as a result of you and the organization's, you know, endeavors, getting them involved, giving them that unconditional, giving them attention, you know, making them seem that they're worth something?
So the great thing is, outside of the Ranch Hope kids, which I haven't run into any of them. Unfortunately, a lot of them are just in situations where I won't have the opportunity to see them. However, I have mentored young men starting at the age of, say, 13, 14, when my father first passed away. I've taken these young men down to the Chesapeake for a Bassmaster Event Elite Series tournaments.
Whoa!
These young men are now 24, 23 years old, and they have learned to trade. They're elevator mechanics. They've learned electrical trade. They are now professional adults who I still not only hang out with, but they call me when they either have advice needs, when they have accomplishments. They're in my fishing club. They're with the Philadelphia Bass Busters, and they do volunteer work with me, not only for the lake cleanups I do, but the Ranch Hope events, the mentoring events. So we're all still tightly knit 10 years later, 12 years later.
That's fantastic. Well, Vince, give us a little bit about the Philadelphia Bass Busters. How long have you guys been around getting involved with that? You call them, they called you. What's the dealio?
Oh, man, they started back in 87. So
that was a very good year.
Yeah. And they've been strong 38 years. The original president, Al, he moved to Florida. I just got voted in as the president. But
they congratulations. Came to me.
Thanks, man. They came to me a decade ago, like 2015-ish, and asked me to be a part of the club. And I graciously accepted. Been one of the best things that's ever happened. They're family oriented. We always want to promote the education of the sport of angling and sharing it with others and family and friends and kids. And, you know, these gentlemen that were in the club are a lot older. Some of them, you know, can't cast all day long. So they allow live bait to be used in the club. A lot of us don't use it, just being the anglers we are. But for the men or women who can't repetitively cast, we have guys in our club that are 70 years old.
Hey, man. I'm knocking at that door. Can I join? I'm a big shiner and crayfish guy.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. And I will say this. We are moving towards artificial, but we will definitely be grandfathering in the gentlemen that have been with us forever to allow them to still, if they choose, to use live bait. But 99% of the members are now all artificial. So that's kind of where the club is headed.
Okay, Vince, we're up against a break here, but it sounds like an intriguing business. You have rodfatherbass.com. What's that all about?
So I started that after my father passed away, where we actually sell fishing apparel with the Rodfather logo on it. We do hoodies, jerseys, T-shirts, hats, etc. But the majority of the proceeds all goes to charity or community give back. So we'll donate every month to St. Jude's Children's Hospital in somebody's name that's passed away in the fishing community or just a positive member of the community. We'll have a dedication card mailed to that individual's house from St. Jude's directly. We also do volunteer lake cleanups. I even do individual lake cleanups every tournament that I fish. If there's a need for a cleanup, we do it. And I send that intel to New Jersey Fish and Wildlife with photographs. We just did a huge cleanup May 3rd, a volunteer Woodbury Stewart Lake cleanup. 20 contractor grade size bags of trash, debris, bottles.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And they provide us the dumpsters. Sometimes they'll give us some gloves. So, and this has been a decade worth of work that we're doing. And not only that, it also helps with our tackle and time donations, which is how we got involved with Ranch Hope. So we're donating rods, reels, our time, bobbers, hooks, etc. So it all plays into the RodFatherBass.com umbrella, all in honor and memory of my dad.
Another thing, too, I've checked out, and you have a sterling reputation. You know, how do I say this? This doesn't sound right, but I'm saying, you know all the big rods, the great rods in the industry, from the local guys here like Iaconelli and Avena up to the megastars from my generation. And you always seem to have, Santroni, have a level head. You're not all about me, 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 me. It's a constant give back. I really admire for that, bro.
Well, I appreciate that. And I will say one last thing. So a lot of people look at what we do when we post it as bragging or showing that you're giving back. And what I try to tell people is, in today's day and age, if you show people the good that is in humans, if one person can just take the reins on their own and maybe go out and start organizing their own lake cleanup, their own mentoring event, their own kids' fishing tournament, that right there is the influence we're trying to bring to the table.
Well said, Vin Santroni Jr., founder, CEO. Listeners, go to RodFatherBass.com. Also, don't forget the event. Well, it's sold out. They're at capacity, 65 youngsters. Still a couple of spots open for the adult tournament. Now, you guys out there are listening. The first annual Levi Bowl Memorial Fishing Tournament at Alloways Lake, May 31st. More information on that, go to ranchhope.org. But really, check out rodfatherbass.com. Hey, Vince, an honor having you on, man. Don't be a stranger. I'll see you in a few weeks.
Yes, you will, sir. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, listen, I'm going to say it on the air right now. If I can dig some up, I'm going to barter a rack and fin cap for one of your caps. Dealio?
That sounds great.
It's like trading jerseys, people in the fishing world. You take care, Vince. We'll see you, man. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
see you.
You too, buddy.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
Fox News. I'm Deborah Valentine. Talks are underway today between the U.S. and China in Geneva, Switzerland, over trade and tariffs. President Donald Trump.
We have to make a great deal for America.
The U.S. imposed a 145% tariff on China, which in turn put a 125% tariff on U.S. goods. The Trump administration's nuclear talks with Tehran are scheduled to resume Sunday in Oman. The talks just ahead of President Trump's visit to the region next week. Newark, New Jersey Mayor Ross Baraka released from custody after being arrested by ICE at a federal immigration detention center for alleged trespass.
Anybody on this soil deserves due process. That's the only thing that we're asking for.
Officials say Baraka, who is with three Democratic members of Congress, ignored warnings to leave after the group attempted to enter the facility. Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia announcing on social media she will not make a 2026 Senate run. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Today will be mostly sunny and breezy, a beautiful start to the weekend with a high of 76. Tonight, expect clear skies and a moonlit night with a low of 53. Tomorrow will be nice with sunshine and a few clouds, reaching a high of 78. Looking ahead to Monday, it will be pleasant with morning sunshine giving way to sun and areas of high clouds and a high of 74. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Joe Lundberg on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go, look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of May 10th and 11th. Again, early, because I'm too fired up. We know the fluke season open. Got poise going on. Next week, next Saturday, sea bass season, black sea bass season opens. And let me tell you something, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. The reports I'm getting from all over, all the party boat captains I talked to, they can't get the baits down to the ling and the cod because of the sea bass. They are everywhere. It's going to be a banner season, but we shall see. Let's talk to the man, the one, the guy. We call him the Admiral when he is on Rack and Fin Radio. It's Peter Clark, biologist with DEP's Marine Fisheries and Wildlife, and he's also the Artificial Reef Coordinator, frequent guest on Rack and Fin. He's talking fluke. We talk tog with Captain Pete. Sea bass, though. I think sea bass is his fave. Admiral, how you doing, man? I'm too fired up.
I'm great, Tom.
I'm too fired up.
You're fired up. I'm fired up.
Let's go. Let's go.
There's only, it's my favorite thing next to tog, tuna, stripers, flukes. But sea bass season's coming up. It's going to be phenomenal this year. I you know, we were talking a minute ago about people already seeing them before the season opened. So I was fishing. I fished the last day of pod season, April 30th, and we started poking around a little bit deeper water. And, you know, 18, 20-ish inch fish every single drop. It was awesome.
A guy was set, and then quick, get him out. Get him back in the water. Get him back. Pete, these fish, two, three pounds. Exactly right. These guys are, but Pete, specimen sea bass. This is going to be phenomenal. So let's get to it, Pete. How's the sea bass, biomass? What's it look like? How's it shaping up, bro?
So, you know, for the last 5-8 years, we've been talking about a biomass abundance levels that are 240, 235, 217, 215% over our target biomass levels. We're still there, right? So even as we continually fish it hard on this biomass, it hasn't shrunk. It's still way above our target. They're still very prolific and abundant in all of these areas that we're going after them.
Pete, this is almost unprecedented.
Areas to the deep. Well, it is unprecedented. But listen, Tom, it makes for New Jersey needs it, right? Like, you know, we're getting hamstrung left and right over a lot of different species. We're getting, you know, a lot of restrictions placed on us. And sea bass is available, right? We need that.
Absolutely. And one, okay, people say the fluke, the tog, whatever. To me, one of the finest eating fish inshore going. One guy says, sea bass is dropping real fish. I said, yeah, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, exactly. What's wrong with that?
It goes across the spectrum from youngsters to seniors, me and beyond. It can be as esoteric as you want. You get some of these aces with jigs that target only the biggest sea bass. You got those, and you have people like me. Hey, man, I'm looking at some dinners here, and it's fun. Rod's bending. It's getting swung. It's just fun.
Yeah, you know what, Tom? And over the last several years, because the fishing has been so good, you've seen a lot of increase of, you know, the slow pitch jig guys. And there's nothing more fun than a slow pitch jig outfit, light rod, and swinging 20 inch fish left and right over the rail. Right?
In fact, Pete, that's pun intended. It spawned an entire industry with rod and reel makers, slow pitch. I mean, you can use it for other applications. Don't get me wrong, but it, again, spawned an entire like subset within the set.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I was introduced to that a few years ago. I really, you know, it's not the easiest, in my opinion, the easiest, technique to pick up, but once you get it,
man,
boy,
that's it.
Effective, man. Holy smokes.
Hey, Pete, really cool. Pete, I'm at variance with you. One thing, Neil, is if I can get it, anybody can. Because, I mean, we're speaking with Peter Clark. He is marine biologist, DEP's Bureau of Marine Fisheries, also the artificial reef coordinator. So, Pete, population looks good. The inevitable question, Tommy P, ask him. Is there a possibility of an increase in the bag limit, keeping it at 12.5 inches, length or lengthening of the season? I'm not sandbagging you, Pete, but I am. I guess that's meetings in the future because it's on a 2-year program, because we're in our second year. What do you see or can you say?
Right. So, I think obviously this year is going to be status quo. Moving forward, it's hard to tell. Look, our fishery performance has been relatively, I'm going to use the word controlled, right? That's what we're trying to do is we're trying to throttle the way that we harvest or the level to which we harvest these black sea bass. So far, I think we've done a pretty good job. There's always, right, we can always hit a snafu with MRIP estimates. But if we continue to receive estimates like we've seen in the last several years, there is a possibility that we could see an increase. A lot of things are going to be determined on how the current addendum is worked out, and as far as the recreational control rules play out for us. But so we'll see, right? Yes, there is a possibility.
There's always, hey man, You can't, if you can't dream, you can't hope, you die. But there's a 10 fish right now, but that's at 12 and a half inches. That's fine with me because there's a lot of fish out there, especially now in the early season going, people early going a lot longer and heftier than 12 and a half inches, you know, 3/4 pound, 1 pound. There are some big jumbo, what they call them, knuckleheads, Pete, sea bass out there. Yeah, okay, Pete, yeah. Dropping clam, dropping squid. Some guys even do the shrimp thing. Some guys with the jig. What's your fave approach this early in the go?
Definitely, I'm a high low clam guy, just to get the ball rolling, and then once we land on a pile of them, I like to jig them for sure. And that slow pitch tungsten jigs are absolutely amazing. They're deadly.
They're absolutely deadly.
Listen, it's a match to hatch, right? So like last year, we had tons of sand eels moving in, so we were throwing jigs, and our teasers on top were those. The holographic sand eels, right? You couldn't not catch them with those things. You're getting double headers left and right. So it really depends on the year. I've seen bait offshore and even in 50, 60 feet of water already. It looks small, maybe herring. I don't think it's sand eels. So who knows what this year will bring. It could be, could be a squid year. Who knows?
Well, Pete, I don't want to mention, I was in a shop, earlier this past week. I'm with the owners. I'm trying to get information ever. Listen, like I said, I go from Bayonne down to Cape May and around, but guy had 5 packs of Berkeley Gulp sand eels on the counter. I said, getting ready for some, fluking later in the summer. He looked at me, says, sea bass, picked up his bag and he left. Whoa. So that tells you something. Well, Pete, let's get to it. Let's talk about it. We have 3, maybe 4 in the central and southern part of the great state and Jersey's coast in a great artificial reef program, second to none, best in the universe. Yours, say 3 or 4 top picks, early season sea bass, Clark. Let's go.
I've been on a couple of reefs lately in that area. Little Egg has got some good mountains down on it. Little Egg's going to have some life. That's worth a check for sure. Atlantic City is already lights out. It's good. There's a lot of life on Atlantic City right now. So, your listeners, if they're up north a little bit, Atlantic City's got, what a cool reef. It's super dynamic. So it goes from 55 feet on the western edge all the way out to 110 feet on the eastern side. So you've got an abundant depth range that you can fish. Some of those deeper spots were absolutely amazing already. And this was back in mid-April to late April. Mm-hmm. Already had a lot of fish on them. So with that said, start focus on some of those 80-foot areas for your sea bass early season. But even shallower than that, we've been seeing a lot of really beautiful fish. I was just yesterday pulling some traps off of an area off of Monmouth County in about 65, 70 feet of water. The trap was packed with sea bass. There was probably 5 keepers out of 25 fish in it. Yeah, we send them all back, so they're available for somebody to bring into the cooler and home for dinner when the sea bass opens. But, I would say Atlantic City is an awesome spot. Garden State, North and South, another 2 great reefs to go check out.
Hey, Clark, that's a 1-2 punch, man, right there.
For sure, right? You come out of Barnegat, head south a little bit. Boom. You're coming from the southern part of the state, Atlantic City. So, you got some shots in there for sure.
Pete, on the I call them the sister reefs, Garden State North and South. I know it gets a lot of fluke pressure. That gets hammered. So does a Barnegat Light Reef. But sea bass, I don't know that many guys, well, again, of course, they're not going to talk about it, I guess, but like you said, they can be some hot spots in the early go, correct?
100%, yeah. And some of those lower lying, look, we've talked about how to find sea bass, right? So go over some of these lower lying pieces that are on those 2 reefs. It doesn't have to be a 30-foot high or a 20-foot high relief to be holding fish. If you run into your spot and you come over a cloud of them, make a couple drifts, power drift on it. That's always my advice to people is if you're reading those fish, stop and fish on them. There's something holding them there, even if the bottom doesn't look like it comes up 10 feet,
Yeah, Pete, and they swarm. Pete, are you finding, again, because I've been in both situations, a lot of small fish or just a few bigger fish. Are the populations ever mixed where you're going to get a 2 or 3 pounder mixed in with the dinks, they call them?
Oh, 100%. 100%, yeah. Often they're mixed like that. You'll have, you know, you'll have your smaller fish that come in, and they're the bait robbers, and then you've got these giant fish. And, of course, when we're talking about these early season, when you just have a huge influx of the population coming inshore right now, right, because, of course, they're coming from offshore to inshore now, mm-hmm. you're going to get every size range available. And that really, that's why this season is so exciting, right? Because yeah. you've got every size range coming in. You've got big, you know, we're talking about fish that you're not, you're swinging them over the rail. You don't even have to measure these things.
Yeah, that's right. Right, yeah.
So, you know, yeah, we're looking good for sure. And then we've got some southern reefs. You got
yeah, I want to talk Townsend's and Cape Maype. Those are two bangers. As Noelle, yeah. Shout out to Noelle. What's up? Triple banging, man. This is a double banger. Townsend and Cape Maype. Go.
And again, look at all your rock piles. You know, any of that. There's so many sea bass around right now. It's get over some structure. It doesn't have to be real high. And make a couple drifts, right? If you want to anchor, obviously you're looking for some bigger targets to anchor on. But power drifting's fantastic. Or spot locking, however guys are doing it nowadays. Mm-hmm.
Pete, when you, yep. you mentioned a jigging, you know, the holographic, you got things that are life. I've seen sea bass hit like brilliant chartreuse glow fluorescent. I mean, these things are aggressive yeah. from the get-go, correct?
I always tell this story. You know, I was showing somebody how to fish a high-low rig, and we didn't have any bait cut up yet, so I just dropped down. I had a 6-ounce sinker, a high-low rig with no bait on it. I dropped it down, and I caught two fish on bear hooks, all right?
That's my kind now, of fishing, people. And what's wrong with yeah, that? Exactly. What's wrong with that?
So, look, in my opinion, when you're in the right spot, these things are going to be chewing. They're going to bite just about anything. It's my opinion that it could be chartreuse, it could be pink, it could be any mm-hmm. color. It doesn't. What matters is the shape of that you know, that lure or that jig, and the way that it moves through the water column.
Pete, how long will these masses of fish be moving? Will they be moving in through June?
Oh, well, they're going to come. They're settling right now, right?
Right.
They're starting to move in now. They're going to continue to move on through May and into June. They're going to settle in through June, still be here in July, and we're going to see them in our really near shore, like, say, 0 to 10 nautical miles off the beach, all the way through into September and October.
Okay, Pete, two things I want to ask you before we're up against a break here. The venting the fish, very important. Could you go into that briefly, please?
Yeah, so very important to vent fish. Anything we usually say anything from 60 feet or greater in depth, it's important to vent your fish. And what happens is it's called barotrauma. So as we're catching these species, these animals on the bottom, and we're reeling them up, it helps to reel slowly. But even when you're reeling slowly, they'll still exhibit signs of barotrauma, which is a stress to the fish, right? So as we reel them up, the air inside of their bodies expands from the atmospheric pressure decreasing. We get them on the boat, we take them off the hook, and you throw them over, and everybody's seen all these floaters. So the best practice is to vent them. The best way to vent them is to, right behind their pectoral fins or their what's a layman's terms for pectoral fins?
Fins.
Swimmer fins.
Swimmer fins. I just call them fins. Pecs.
Fins, whatever. Yeah, right behind them, a quarter inch, a half an inch, you pierce a small hole. They make venting tools. You can find them on Amazon. You can find them at mm-hmm. a lot of bait and tackle shops. And so we vent them. You'll hear the gas escape, and then they can swim back down to the bottom. And we found that the survival rate after venting is actually very, very high. Right, so we think
Great.
That we're injuring these fish by poking a hole in them, but really we're allowing them to swim back down and survive.
Yeah, there's just a great artificial reef system we have here in Jersey. People want to find out more about it, get these all updated, all new numbers, Pete. Go. How do we find this out?
Right, so the best thing to do for all of our latest deployments is to go to our website, NJ Fish and Wildlife. If you Google it, it'll bring you to our website page. And if you're looking for information specifically on the artificial reef program, Google NJ Artificial Reef Program, and the search engine will bring you right to our webpage, give you all of our latest news, deployments, updates, and the reef guide, right? So you go scroll down to the bottom and you'll find the New Jersey Artificial Reef Guide. Pick your favorite reefs, print them off, bring them on the boat.
Admiral Peter Clark, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. Hope to see you on the water, my brother.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
See you.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, most of us react to financial concerns in three ways. Hear how understanding your tendencies can help you manage any money-related stress. Also, we'll look at new tools for travel hacks since airline prices are rising, plus three big reasons why Americans aren't snacking as much anymore, and why not everyone is on board with reopening Alcatraz Prison. That and more coming up on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
We asked parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
When I met both of them, it was like my missing pieces were found. Like it was just like an instant, these are my kids. If you're considering adopting a teen, just do it. Kids need families. I don't care the age. Everybody deserves a family.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to learn more. A message brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, wrapping up on Rack and Fin Radio, the weekend of May 10th and 11th. Hey, a great event coming up next week, a week out. I've been promoting it the past, month or so on Rack and Fin Radio. The governor's, it's going to be the 34th annual surf fishing tournament, the Governor's Cup. Now, listen, add a little ligature to this. 34th year. I remember about 35 years ago, I go to my post office box in a little town of Mountainside up here in Union County, one of my many, many residencies in the Great Garden State. And I get a press release about they're going to have, it was in the fall back then, they were going to have a governor surf tournament. I'm saying, will this thing fly? I don't know. Well, sure enough, that thing didn't get only wings. It got jet engines too. Joining us online right now is principal biologist Karen Burns. She's with the Bureau of Information and Education with DEP's Fish and Wildlife. She is the talk person about the upcoming Governor's Surf Tournament next week. Karen Burns, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
You are more than welcome. From what I understand, you have hundreds upon hundreds of people pre-registered already, correct?
Yes, we got good pre-registration numbers with about 300 folks pre-registered. But there is registration that day of. It's $20 for adults, kids 13 to 17, $5, and kids 12 and under are free. And we'll be there at 5:30 at Pavilion 1 registering folks.
Okay. How long do you get to fish the awards? Also, I understand there's all sorts of teams, like high school teams there. What's the dealio?
Yep. We also have a high school team category. 10 high schools have pre-registered for that.
Wow.
And they fish as a team. We also have a veterans category as well. So if you are a veteran, there's a prize for the largest fish caught for a veteran as well.
Well, Karen, can you name some of the teams from all up and down the coast, different areas of the state? What?
Well, there's Manasquan, there's Seton Hall Prep.
Whoa, 1974 graduate Tom P. Seton Hall Prep when it was on the South Orange campus. Yes! Okay, sorry. I should go back there, man. No, they moved out.
Yeah.
Who knows where the campus is now? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But yeah, we have teams from Atlanta County, Ocean County, all over.
Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, now, Karen, the eligible species.
Yes. We have black drum, bluefish, kingfish, red drum, striped bass, summer flounder, and weakfish.
Wow, so you basically have a full menu there. And I'll tell you, timing couldn't be better because the surf up and down is really starting to percolate. This is going to be a great event. Now,
yes.
Getting to the Island Beach State Park, the Pavilion One, but did people have passes? Can they have to register and then get to the beach? What's the procedure?
So if you wanted to drive on the beach, you'll have to contact Island Beach State Park ahead of time. They do have a three day beach buggy pass that's available. Otherwise, there's plenty of walk-on access throughout Island Beach State Park, and we'll have maps there as well and can direct you to how to get onto the beach.
And you have a great lineup of sponsors there, Karen. That's fantastic. It's one of the premier events of the year. Now, you had it in the fall, then you switched to the spring. I guess it's gone back and forth a few times, but May is prime time, Byrne.
Yeah, it's a nice time to kick off before Memorial Day weekend, and that flounder fishing gets heated up at Island Beach State Park, so should be a nice event. And yes, Tsunami and Grumpy's Tackle have been very generous with donating high-end fishing rods and reels, and also Celebrity Ford and Tom's River will be driving disabled Beth onto the beach so they can fish as well.
Oh, that's incredible. Hey, shout out to Ray over there at Grumpy's Bait and Tackle. Hey, Ray, when's the last time you smiled? Known him for ages. And a shout out to the great Jenny Ackerman from the Fisher Magazine, who also works at Grumpy's. Karen, I've been asked several times. It's a state thing. They get the money. Where does it go? Can you answer that,
money,
please?
Sure. So the money goes into not actually to the state New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Club has an account dedicated to the governor's surf fishing tournament, and goes back to surf fishing. So supplementing resources for surf fishing classes at Island Beach State Park, as well as in the past they've helped with access, maintaining the beach buggy wheelchairs that are at Island Beach State Park.
That's
for disabled
great.
Anglers to get onto the beach.
That
so it helps
great.
With all those.
Okay, Karen. Okay, Karen Byrne, one last time, we'll have to close out the show. For more information on the 34th annual, check it out, Governor's Surf Fishing Tournament next Saturday, May 18th. Or no, it's next Sunday, yep. May 18th. Go. What do we do?
They can go on to njfishandwildlife.com, and the Governor's Surf Fishing Tournament is in one of the banners right on the homepage, and they can click on that for more information, and it has my phone number and contact if they have any questions.
Byrne, I'm gonna put out there, you guys are probably going to have to be there, 4 o'clock in the morning, if not earlier? Camp out the night before. Karen's going to be a great event. Hope to see you there. Listen, you're going to have donuts?
Donuts and coffee.
forget the job. I'm into the nuts. Okay, now you take care. We'll see you there.
All right.
See
thank
you, Karen.
You.
That's going to be a super event. Karen Byrne, she is wonderful. Hey, God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Get out there and enjoy, because you are not promised tomorrow. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.